Here, everybody. Here's Tabitha. She's back. Here's your friend, alive. And look at verse 42 of chapter 9. It became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with Simon the tanner. So that's the story. Now, if I asked you, what is the point of these stories? What do you think? Make a note to yourself. Write it down in the back of your bulletin where it says notes. What is the point of these stories? Have you decided what the point of these stories is, since I asked you the question? Okay. Is the point of these stories healing? Right? Because there was a paralyzed guy who's not paralyzed, and then there was a dead person who's not dead. Is the point of these stories the miraculous? These are good questions. Nothing is too difficult for thee. We sang, he can. He does. Here's an example of twice that it happened. I want to ask you this, and it's a very important question. What about these events leads to belief in Christ? Look at verse 35. All the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Look at verse 42. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. What about these events lead to belief in Christ? I want you to turn with me to John chapter 6, which is to the left when you're in the book of Acts. It's that many pages over. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 26. Now I'm going to speak to the purpose of miracles by using the words of Jesus Christ. So what he says in John chapter 6, starting at verse 26, is this. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Do you remember the multiplication of the bread and the fish? So everyone came to Jesus the next day, and he said, "You came to me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." The practical value of miracles is not Jesus' point in performing miracles. He multiplied the loaves. There was mercy. Feed them. They're weak and faint. Feed them. But here's Jesus, and he says, "You guys, you're not responding to the miracle. You want the food." Hello, Irene. It's good to see you. All the way up the icy street. I'm glad that you're here. Wouldn't you all be so glad to see Irene? It's been weeks. And there you are. God bless you. Glad that you're here. Yeah. Jesus said in the gospel, "You're seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Eternal life. Not the miracle and the result, but the authority and the power of the God who is able that people might believe that Jesus is the Messiah and turn to the Lord. The Son of Man gives this to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. In verse 28, they said, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God? I want to be like Dorcas. I want to be like Tabitha. What's the work? What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in he whom he has sent." That's the stuff, that you believe. And so they said to him, "Well, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread from heaven." Just like it's not Peter who healed Aeneas or Tabitha. It wasn't Moses that gave you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And to him they said, Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said what you know. You know this if you've ever been in church for any amount of time. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. But I said to you, you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You could underline that verse in the Bible of the person sitting next to you. It is so important that the person next to you knows that. Turn at someone next to you and say, whoever comes to Jesus, he will not cast out. Is it just theater when you do that? Is it just theater that I can't be bothered to do that? I know you said to do that. I'm not going to do that. I already know it. They know it next to me. They heard you just like I heard you. I don't need to say it. So why did I say turn to someone and say it? Is that just for theatrics? It isn't. Can you say words like those, believing them, as you turn to someone? The person right next to you, who you already know and spoke to this morning, could you even do that? We're called to do that to people we do not know. But could you even turn and say it to the person next to you? This matters. It's something about our heart. And when the Lord says, go on and do that, will you? Now, I'm a flesh and blood guy, and I'm up here doing a preaching act, and you may say, you know what, when the preacher does it, that's not really God. That's him. He's trying to whip us up. He wants me to do something. I don't want to do it. I think that's perfectly fine. I am not the CEO of the church. I'm not the boss man. I am your pastor. I'm responsible to answer to God for the care of your souls. I'm the elder of the church. In our Baptist polity, we have selected from among us someone to be our elder and to lead us and to be our pastor. And so there is authority there. There's authority that's delegated by the gathered kirk who seeks the will of God when they meet to decide what God would do, and we submit to the revealed will of God decided by the church meeting in a Baptist church. That's a real thing. I'm not toying with gimmicks when I say just turn to someone and tell them. There's a reason. There's a design. There's a purpose. And it's training us to be who we'll be outside. And I don't take it lightly. I want you to know that about the man who's preaching to you. Jesus says, I will cast no one out. And so have you come to the Lord and do you believe? And have you said, God, forgive my sin in Jesus' name? There's a promise in Scripture about salvation here, and Jesus says that sticks. How are you going to blow it if God does it? Jesus says in verse 38 of John chapter 6, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's what disciples who follow Jesus also do. Jesus says, I've come to do my Father's will, and it's the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of all he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Now, do you remember the question was, what about these events that we read in Acts chapter 9 leads to belief in Christ? And then we're following up with eternal life is that Jesus says anyone who believes in him, not in Peter, not in miracles, but believes in him should have eternal life. And he'll raise him up on the last day. Coming to Jesus is the point of it all.